and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess.
Hello, and welcome to episode 198, the Road to Atlanta episode. I just moved out of my back porch so you could hear all the lovely, very early fall sounds. It's September 23rd, is that right? Or no, September 22nd, it's a Thursday in September 2016. You can figure it out from there. And doesn't that mean it's fall, officially? I always think it's September 21st, but they've changed it on me. I know for spring, I think of spring as being March 21st, and it's March 22nd. Anyway, it's got to be fall, and it's feeling a little more fall-like around here. But just as I moved out, there was a leaf blower, but it stopped. We got lucky, so you can hear some early fall, late summer, early fall insect noise. It's, I don't know what time it is. It's about 3:30. It's one of those days. Will's got soccer, Jack's got the bait, and we don't have to be anywhere till 5, although at 5 I go pick up Jack, and then I will go over to Will's soccer game, at least for a little while, and then come home and get dinner on the table. The soccer game is just, it's at school, and that's just 5 minutes away from here. So, but it means I have a little bit of time, and the fact is, I am pretty close to being done what I have to do to be ready for the quilt show on Saturday. I'm trying to think. I'm making temporary sleeves for the quilts, except for the only one. Well, the Civil War Birds in the Air is not a quilt. It's just a quilt top. Can I tell you? Oh, I have weird bad news. Thimble Pleasures is closing. Another quilt shop down. And of course, now I'm feeling so guilty for all my Fat Quarter Shop purchases. Although Thimble Pleasures does not sell American-made fabric, and that's mostly what I was ordering from Fat Quarter Shop online. And you know me and Kona, I don't do the Kona unless I absolutely have to. And I don't judge you if you do, because you know I know there. I've said that before, and I'm trying to think. There are people who have said they don't have any problem with Kona, or they don't think it frays particularly any worse than other fabrics. So, but for me, it just started driving me crazy. So, for non-solid shopping, I've spent enough money at Thimble Pleasures to feel not too guilty about my online shopping. But I'm sad. I think it's one of these things where I think the owner is just ready to sell. And one of their main people, who I actually thought was the owner and may have been a co-owner, Diane, died earlier this year of cancer, which is so sad. She was just a great person and just fun, funny and fun. And it was just so sad when I heard that she had died. So I think it's one of those things that the owner's just ready to go and I guess has not found a buyer. So maybe someone will buy it. I don't know. I don't know if this is really the right time to buy a quilt shop. And that's something I'm trying to think. I think Pam and Lynn might have been talking about that on The Stitch, or else Pam was talking about it on Hip to Be a Square. I'm going to see Pam. Oh, gosh, guys, I'm going so far afield. I'll never get back to my original point. But anyway, I'm going to see Pam and Lynn on Saturday in Atlanta at the quilt show. And I think I may even be on The Stitch, which is going to really make me wish I'd lost 20 pounds before all this. But I always am meaning to lose 20 pounds. My goal in life is to lose 20. My goal in life is to be a decent human being. I'm not being that successful on that front either, but probably have a better chance than losing 20 pounds. But I want to lose 20 pounds. And when I see myself on YouTube TV, I'm sure I'll really regret it. But let's not go there. Let's be body positive today. Okay. I've got really good ankles, and all of me. My whole body bore a baby, two of them, and that actually is quite impressive. So body positive day here in Off-Kilter Quilt Land. Where was I going? Okay, Pam Stitch. I know where I was going with Thimble Pleasures, but I did want to tell you that that was very shocking news to me that it is closing, and surprising, because it just seems to be one of those quilt stores that's really thriving. But again, it seems like it's not just the quilting economy, but also just personal things for the people running the store. But I went to get borders for the Civil War Birds in the Air quilt. And I went in, so the quilt, if you've seen it on the blog, is, or the top, it's not a quilt yet, it's just a top. It's repro fabric. The colors are kind of a tannish, beigeish, flecky print. I don't think that's the official. I don't think it's sprigged. I think probably sprigged is probably the word I'm looking for there. And then a dark blue, also flecky, perhaps also sprigged, but not a matching sprig or a matching fleck. And then a red, also spriggy, flecky. It's all small. It's just repro. You know, we weren't doing K-facet prints when back in the Civil War time. So you can imagine it if you haven't seen it. So red, a kind of reddish, like a brick red. Let's call it a brick red. A darker red, a dark blue, and then a tan. And so I went in thinking that I wanted borders, and I was thinking I might even do two borders, a narrow and then a wider border, and actually looking for solids or blender-type fabrics, you know, just in red and blue. But then you get in the store with all the fabric, and you start thinking, well, what's something interesting we can do here? In part because I couldn't find what I had in mind, the sort of solid or and or blendery type fabrics. They weren't there. So I was like, okay, well, what about another print? And what color? And I ended up finding a print. It's a red print with a purple flower. It's old-fashioned looking. It wasn't in the repro section, but I think it works. And the purple, of course, it calls out. It calls out to the blue is what it does, and it calls out to the red. I like that. That's so poetic. My purple flowers calling out to the red and the blue. I really like it, but it's one of those things. I mean, I really do like it, and I happen to, trust my intuition on these things. If I really like it, I feel like it's right. And although it'll be interesting if someone comes up to me at the quilt show and goes, you know, that border's just freaking insane, man. What are you thinking about? But I don't think so. I think it works. So I was actually quite delighted to find what I wasn't looking for, but what turned out to be right, I think, in my humble opinion. It is. I know it is. So it does have a border, and it looks really nice, this quilt. All the quilts, you know, are imperfect, of course, and that's okay. We are pretty clear on the fact that I am, kind of a messy, funky, off-kilter quilter, right? That's been clear from the beginning. But I like them. And that, you know, that's something we'll talk about sometime. The importance of having, you know, of having affection for your work, even when it's not perfect, even when it's, you know, it's okay to like your quilts. Go, yeah, I like this. I know it's not. I know some of that quilting's coming off over there, and I know those points don't really do what they're supposed to do, and blah blah blah. But I like it. Isn't that what we want? I think that's what we're after. I'm pretty sure. I mean, unless you're a show quilter, I'm just still amazed by that concept. We've talked about it. That there are people who they make their show quilt for the year and they submit them to all the big competitions. It's kind of cool. You know, it's like the Olympics. That's cool. We're cool with that. Anyway, I just think it's an interesting notion. So, let's see. What else to tell you? I'm looking forward to Atlanta. I'm looking forward to coming home and it being fall and not having anything big on the docket. Got some school visits to talk about children's books. I hope I can line up some sort of guild type visits. And I'm looking forward to doing some more marketing for Birds in the Air. And I'm going to be asking for your help if you want to help be kind of a Birds in the Air ambassador. We're going to make up some. I know we were talking about postcards, but I don't know if you've seen this in bookstores where people, publishers are starting to do these little, almost like calling cards for books. And I collect ephemera, sort of the, you know, postcards and also business cards and of that, so ephemera of that variety to finish out the phrase. And I was looking to show the man what these calling cards look like, and I found a book for a recent Lee Smith novel, a card, I mean, for a recent Lee Smith novel. And not only did it have the nice, you know, little nice picture and information about the book, but it also had, is it a UPC code? I mean, you know, it's, I don't think that's actually what it's called. But some, you know, the code where you can, if you have a reader on your phone, you can swipe and then it comes up on your phone. And I think that's super cool. So I think we're going to do cards of one kind or another. And they might have codes that, you know, that you could read with your phone. But I'm going to ask folks if you could take some cards to your guild or to your local quilt shop. Let me know, and I'll send you a bundle. You can tell me about how many would be right, whether it might just be 5 or 50, And that would be really helpful. But I'll talk more about that when I get back from Atlanta. I'm sure I'm going to take my recorder with me. So who knows whether or not I'll end up doing any interviewing is questionable. But you never know. But I'm sure I'll come back either way with lots of stories. And I will be seeing, again, Pam and Lynn from The Stitch. And Quilt and Jenny is going to be there. She's the one who invited me. And Holly Ann, who is an active twilter and just a delightful human being as far as I can tell. If she turns out not to be a delightful in person, I'm going to be like devastated, because online she's just fabulous. So I'm really, and I hope I will see other people. So it's, I will, there's information on my blog right now at the Off Kilter Quilt, but I'll put it up again in the show notes. If you're in the area, come and come find me and be nice to me. Because I will be nervous, even though I'll be among friends. I don't get huge anxiety about public speaking, but it's a lot. And I've never done, I do school visits all the time where I get on stage and talk, but I've never done anything like this. And I hope, if you come, be really kind about my quilts, because I know they're not perfect, but I hope people will like them. Again, I like them. Maybe I should call myself the affectionate quilter. Yes. I like that too. I'm sure there are other things I have to tell you. I do want to say, in regards to Birds in the Air, my new novel, thank you so much. I've just gotten an incredible amount of online support through Facebook, through the blog. People have been ordering it and tweeting about it and have put up really nice reviews on Amazon and Goodreads. And if you read it and you like it, that would be a wonderful thing if you could go over to Goodreads and just rate it. You don't even have to review it, really, just a rating. But if you want to review it, that would be great. Or go to Amazon and just a sentence or two, love this book, quilters everywhere in the whole world and universe will love this book, and put some stars up there. That would be fabulous. It really, it makes a difference. It does. And you know, this is, again, I'm really depending on the, the help of my friends with this, and have already been the recipient of a great generosity, which I so appreciate. You know, I feel like I need to do a giveaway, but I kind of feel badly because so many of my friends have already bought the book. I'm like, oh, okay, now that you've bought the book, I'll be doing a giveaway. I probably will. Don't be mad. So this is exciting. It's an exciting time, but mostly I'm excited about being cozy and homey and the weather getting cooler and walking my dog Travis, who's sitting right here with me, and working on more quilts. You know, that's kind of exciting too, although I do need to take my machine in, and that's another thing about Thimble Pleasures closing. It's like that's where I get my machine tuned up every year, and so now I'm gonna have to go to Raleigh. Yeah, that's really sad. It's an end of an era. But maybe somebody will step forward and buy it. I hope so. It's not going to be me. All right. Well, I think I've gone on long enough. Thank you, everyone who commented on the last episode. I don't think I went over. I know I didn't go over comments at the end. I'll do my best to get you next time. But thank you. I appreciate your comments. I appreciate even the comments you make in your head, which I can. I hear them in the wind. It's a beautiful thing. But leave a comment at offkilterquilt.com. Email me, fdowell@nc.rr.com. Just get in touch. I love to hear from you. And again, appreciate all of you. And let's get on with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. It is Thursday, September 15th. I'm sitting on the porch. You can hear the birds. There's one particularly loud bird. There's always one particularly loud bird. I don't know if it's the same bird. The plague of the birds. No, they're lovely, and that's why I'm sitting on the porch, so you can have such nice late summer sounds. We are ready for the coming of the fall, which doesn't look like it's going to be here anytime soon, which is fine. It's fine. Not complaining. Don't complain about the weather, but really a nice cool breeze about now. I think it would feel good. I really do. Anyway, I am in the midst of finishing up all my quilts, all my Birds in the Air quilts, and it feels like a mad dash, although we're not leaving for Atlanta until next week, till next Friday, and I'm actually in a really pretty good place, but I wanted to get everything about done by Sunday, and just so that next week can be relaxed. I have actually had a bug this week. I came back from my mother-in-law's memorial service, which was in Charlotte on Sunday, and it was lovely. And Monday woke up and thought, oh, I feel really tired. But that shouldn't be surprising because we've just kind of been feeling tired. I think that just must be wrapped up in grief and also just all the work. Melvin died on the 29th of August, and there's just been a lot of sorting out of things going on. And then before that was, she was very ill. And so those of you who have been through this know what that's like. But yeah, so mostly just like, I would like to nap for several weeks. What I would love to do is to go to Ocracoke Island and rent a house by myself and just read for a week and take walks on the beach. I know, so sad to exclude the man from that, but just could use a little bit of very quiet, very alone time. And I'm not going to get that. That's just a dream, but it's a nice dream, and it's keeping me going right now. So Monday I woke up and felt tired, and it turned out it was a bug. And mostly I just kind of feel tired and sore throat, and so maybe a little allergies too. I don't know. I'd like it to go away, especially by tomorrow, because we're having our big book club meeting tomorrow to celebrate our 14th anniversary as a book club. And it's here at my house. I have been doing just little things every day to get cleaned up since the house hasn't actually been cleaned in any meaningful way, pretty much since June, which is one of the reasons why I wanted book club to meet here. It would force me to clean my house. So anyway, I'll be fine. And it's not like I'm ravaged by the flu or anything. I just don't feel great. But the good thing is that's given me a good excuse to just focus on quilts and not feel too badly about not writing this week. So where I am is I have finished the Twilters quilt, the Twilters birds in the air, the meeting of the geese, and finished, all the way finished, unless you count labels. And I feel strongly about labels, and usually I try to put them on before I finish the quilt, make them put them in a corner and then use the binding to help secure them. And I don't even know if I'm not going to worry too much about labels before the quilt show. Later, I will do my best to label. I'm not, I don't always practice what I preach, as my children would be very happy to tell you. But have finished those two completely. I'm almost done putting on the binding, doing the hand sewing of the binding on Modern Birds in the Air, and have finished the Civil War top, not exactly, because I think I'm going to add a couple borders. Once I got it all sewn together, and I know you can just do the math and figure out how long and wide a quilt's going to be when you finish. That's if you are someone with any kind of math skills or sewing skills. But also, if you say, the way this should finish out is 56 inches, but it turns out that's not quite as long or as wide as you thought it was going to be, and that's kind of where I am on this. And so I'm thinking that I will just add borders and make it a little bit bigger. If I have time, I'll sew another row. And I have to tell you, the Civil War Birds in the Air is hand-pieced and will be hand-quilted, but I must say that the other night I finally, I guess this was Monday night, it was down to like three big chunks. And I thought, I can spend the next hour and a half sewing these big chunks together, or I can take 10 minutes and do it on the machine. I did it on the machine. I just thought, I'm not a purist, and it's mostly hand quilted. It looks hand quilted. So I'm just going to do that. So I did. And if I decide to add another row of blocks, I will probably do those by machine as well. In fact, I think I've got the fabric cut for enough squares to make another row. So I may do that, but otherwise I will just add these borders on. But that's the work of a moment, quite frankly. I have basted the paper birds in the air, so that's all ready to go. I just haven't decided how to quilt it. One of the things with the Twilters birds in the air, I was like, how do I quilt this? I want to do something simple. And I looked at my girl Krista Watson's first book about machine quilting, and I used a pattern. It's a decorative stitch. It's a number 3 zigzag on the Bernina, my Bernina, which I think is it's called a 1230. And I set the stitch length at 2.5.
It really wanted to be at 1.5. I'm like, oh, no, no. And so it's quite lovely. It's a, I don't know what you would call it. I was like, is it a squiggle? I don't think it's a squiggle. It's not a zigzag. Or if it is, it's a oblonged zigzag. That's a phrase you hear. Never oblong. It's an oblong zigzag. But, you know, it's got a curve to it, not a point. And I just did that diagonally across the quilt. And I really like how it looks. So thank you, Krista, for that idea. And then I decided to save time to machine bind the quilt. And I haven't done that since my early days when before I didn't know in my early days that you were supposed to attach your binding to the front of the quilt and then hand sew it to the back. So yeah, my first quilt, which I may bring with me. This is actually my second quilt, although I'm sure I did the first quilt. But the quilt I'm thinking about that I have, yeah, the binding is quite horrible. I should show it to you sometime. In any event, this went much better with the Twilters quilt. One, it helped, you know, the blocks are birds in the air blocks with various colors and then white. And so I did a white binding. And that was helpful in terms of doing the top machine quilting for the binding, because then I just did the same stitch, that sort of oblong zigzag. What is it called? And it pretty much blended, right? White thread, white fabric, white binding. And it's pretty, and I liked it. The only thing I didn't, and I got that idea, by the way, did I tell you, from Krista also. I thought that was nice. The only thing I don't like is, you know, you end up pulling the binding around, and I don't know quite how to describe it, but it ended up, I like the very thin, narrow look of binding on the front. And so, and then of course that means that the binding on the back typically is a little wider. And so now the wider part of the binding is on the front of the Twilters quilt. And it's fine, again, because the colors blend in and it's not a problem. So when I went to machine quilt the meeting of the geese, I decided to do the same thing, but I thought, oh, I'm going to cut a narrower binding strip. Typically, I use a 2.5 strip, so I thought I'll do 2. And you know what? That ended up being too narrow, and it was much harder to do the top stitch in a way that worked. And it was also dark gray and light gray, the fabric of the quilt top. And I used a lightish gray thread that blends fairly well, but to do a decorative stitch didn't really work. I don't know. If I have time, once I get everything more or less done, I may go back and just redo that. Because one of the things is I actually sew on hand sew binding pretty quickly. I sat down last night with the Modern Birds in the Air and got it half done. I mean, I think, you know, maybe in an hour and a half. So I think maybe just an hour. I mean, it's the smallest quilt, and the Meeting of the Geese is a big quilt, but I think if I have time next week, I will redo the binding. I haven't washed it yet. But it also, if I don't have time, that's fine. It can go as is. It's ready to go. So that leaves me, so Paper Birds in the Air is all basted, ready to be quilted. Don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to look for something simple, but I want it. Because of the paper airplanes, I want to try to do something that is fun and maybe sort of suggests contrails or air currents or what have you. Now, I actually made a list of things to tell you about or to mention. So what I have left to do, quilt Paper Birds in the Air, and then actually baste together the Bauhaus birds, baste together the quilt sandwich. It's a very small quilt. I don't plan to quilt it extensively at all. So I'm hoping that will just be, an afternoon to do. I mean, it's going to be very simply quilted. This is very much a draft. I want to do it again. I think I will probably submit it to QuiltCon. And I need it, but I need to do a better job of the paper piecing now that it just is like a practice quilt, but it looks good if you don't look too close because of some of the errors I made. The errors were not in the pattern, they were in me.
All right. One of the things I wanted to mention, because we've been talking a little bit about, you know, how do you spend less on your quilting, and a lot of people are talking about shopping their stash and the problem of all fabric pretty much being $12 a yard at this point. I went to a place in Durham called the Scrap Exchange. Now, I wrote this down because I never know how to describe the Scrap Exchange. It calls itself a creative reuse art center. It's here in Durham. The woman who owns it, I think it's run as a nonprofit. So the woman who runs it, I should say, moved it a few years ago to an old shopping center, not very far from where I live, into an old store. Fairly large. I have no idea what the old store was, but it was pretty big. And the shopping center used to be part of a thriving neighborhood, and it has gone downhill in the last. I mean, when it was really thriving, it was in the 50s. There was a big park there with a year-round kind of carnival. You know, I mean, not carnival, but it had rides and not just a merry-go-round, a Ferris wheel, and all this stuff. That's all gone. So now it's just kind of, it just has seen better days, and the shopping center has definitely seen better days. She has raised the money to buy all the empty stores, and she's going to make it a big sort of arts and crafts wonderland, and we're all very excited about it, those of us here in Durham who care about those things. Anyway, so the materials they have, so you go, and they have all kinds of materials, including material, fabric. They have foam and paper. They have zippers and buttons, test tubes, art supplies, tons of VHS tapes. I don't understand. Pipe cleaners, shells, all kinds of stuff, right? And people have parties there. There are a lot of kids' parties there. They held all kinds of classes. It's a neat place. So I went looking for fabric, and this is the first time I'd ever gone to shop for fabric, and I found the backing for both the paper birds in the air and the twilters. And the twilters is just pink fabric, just a length of, I think it was like 3.5 yards of fabric. And then for the paper birds in the air, it's kind of a pinkish red pinstripe, very, very fine stripe that reads reddish pink if you back away from it a bit. And my total cost for that yardage, that was also about 7 yards of fabric, was $10. Yeah, I know. Can't be beat. If you can find the fabric, and there was a lot of really good fabric, and what's nice, it's already pre-cut. They don't cut fabric for you, but they do a really nice job of labeling what the yardage is, what the width of the fabric is. So, you know, and they had neat stuff, and it's so, if anyone's looking to get rid of fabric, I'm sure they take your donations. So yes, so that was good. And the other thing I've done, by the way, is I pieced together batting, so that I would not have to spend too much on batting for these. And what I did, I found a good tutorial on the Moda Bake Shop, and I used fusible tape. And I, you know, cut clean ends and just sat there at the ironing board and put tape, and then put a strip of fabric over the tape, narrow, like, so it was 1-inch tape, and then so I had just 1-inch white fabric, and ironed that over the tape. And that worked really well. So, so just some money-saving efforts, just because, you know, this stuff is expensive. This craft we practice, quite expensive. So I mentioned that I have gotten a lot of help from Crystal Watson, from her books. I also rewatched her creative webinar on the Modern Quilt Guild website. If you're a member of the Modern Quilt Guild, you can access that and go into resources. And she did a neat talk, I think it was in the spring, about quilting the modern quilt. And so that was just, I watched that kind of as I was doing some sewing, and it's very fun. She's got a lot of energy. She's a very lively speaker, but also it's just giving me some ideas for some quilting. And then her book also gave me some ideas. Her first book, now she's done two books. The second was the one with Angela Walters, and I believe has a new book coming out this fall. So very excited and very appreciative of Krista, who's been really nice about publicizing Birds of the Air. And by the way, I'm sure I'm going to say this in the opening, but just in case I don't, thank you to everyone who pre-ordered Birds in the Air. That was just exciting. It was really exciting because it's got like really good rankings in Amazon. And I think Amazon actually reduce the price. We will still get the same cut that we would have gotten from Amazon, but I think partly because of all this action, that Birds in the Air was getting. It kind of caught the computer's attention. So, and if you pre-ordered, you will get the cut and price on the paperback. I think now it's like at $10.35. So if you haven't ordered, and by the time this posts, I think some of you may, if you've pre-ordered, you may be getting it today. They changed the publication date. We don't know why, and we don't care. That's fine. But and when I say we, I mean those of us here at Milton Falls Media, which means me and the man. Yeah, so we're good with it, and you should see, even if you pre-order, that's the price. That's the Amazon guarantee. That's what will come off your credit card is the $10.35. If you haven't ordered, now's a good time to do so. So let's see. So I've talked about Krista. I've talked about Binding the Baddie. The other thing, so I've been watching, just kind of for fun. Okay, this is a very weird thing. But I sort of like watching craftsy classes on machine quilting just because I really like watching somebody use a sewing machine. It's really kind of weird. So to quilt, there's something very meditative and relaxing about that. And so I was watching, I decided I would start Jackie Gehring's first class on walking foot quilting, quilting with your walking foot, and then move to, the, you know, and actually go all the way through it. And, you know, because I'm doing all this quilting, and then go to her second class. So I started, and I realized that, I'm like, this would have been really helpful to have seen before I quilted the Meeting of the Geese with the concentric circles. But in fact, there is a chapter or a lesson in her first class about sewing, quilting in circles. And what I loved about it, so I went to that chapter, and what I loved about it was that her circles aren't perfect either. I was like, yes, yes. See, we just have these ideas of perfection, or I do. And it was funny. There's a quilting newsletter I subscribe to. I subscribe to several, and it's just fun. And a lot of times you get good links and get pointed in directions. You know, I don't follow a lot of quilting blogs. So it's very nice to I try to follow my friends, but as far as then, you know, there's just a ton of stuff out there. So I enjoy reading about it and following the links. But anyway, so I got one today, and there was a picture of a quilt, and this was from a modern quilter, and this was one of her quilts. I think she was doing a giveaway, and I looked at the quilting. I'm like, that's not very good quilting. And I didn't mean it judgy mean. It was like a relief. I'm like, oh, and I know people have different standards, and this quilter, she may have felt like, hey, this is great. This may be a new thing for her. It wasn't terrible, but obviously that's what I'm looking at. I'm like, well, how does that quilting look? And I was like, oh, you know, I think I would have re-quilted, but so I was actually glad. I was like, oh, okay. So we don't really have to be perfect. We really don't have to be perfect. And that's another thing with the Meeting of the Geese quilt. I'm not thrilled with how the binding looks, but it's so imperfect. My sewing on it, you know, the machine sewing I did on the front of the binding, but you know, it's like just five steps away, and you can't even see it, you know, and I did a dark gray binding that matches half of the quilt. The quilt is essentially, if you divide it diagonally down the diagonal center. It's on one side, it's mostly light gray. On the other side, it's mostly dark gray. So for half of the quilt, you just can't see it at all. The binding or the stitches. I'm just like, you know, if you have some extra time and want to redo this next week, do it. That's fine. But, you know, and can I tell you the backs of my quilts? They all look terrible. Except for the Twilters quilt, I'm happy to say that just with the simple decorative stitch, not a lot of mid quilt starts and stops. That's another thing I was looking up, because you know I tend to when I start and finish a line of quilting, I backstitch, but you know it doesn't look good on the back of the quilt. And then I think it was Krista again. It's like, reminded me in her book of course there are a couple other things you can do. One is bearing the knot or what. I don't know how to do that, and one day I'll learn. Somebody can come over to my house and show me. But the other thing is, of course, is have this, your stitch length just tiny, so that you start out just doing a few tiny stitches that really anchor that line of quilting. So that's what, with the Twilters, I'm like, oh yeah, with the Twilters Birds in the Air, I'm like, do that. So I had the benefit both of Chris's wisdom, sort of reawakening wisdom of myself, because I know that's something you can do, and for some reason I just forget about that. But also just when you're starting and stopping at the edges, then it doesn't matter so much. But like in the modern Birds in the Air, the back is kind of a hot mess, and there's just a lot of back stitching, and I quilted with white thread, and a lot of the back is, you know, either blue or peach, or not peach, what are we calling it, you know, the salmon, whatever. And so you see it, you see the quilting, and if the quilting, you know, and so it's kind of a mess. But that's something, again, I keep reminding myself, I can revise, I can do another draft of the quilt if it's that, you know, important to me. As we know, once we move on to new quilts, our mistakes in the old quilts, I don't even notice them anymore, but I'm not looking for them. I'm not, my face is not up in a quilt going, you know. So anyway, but yeah, that's something that as I go on and continue to learn, I want to get better at the back of the quilt looking good too. And a lot of these, the backs of my quilts, the machine quilting, you just do see the mistakes more. But if right now, I just want the fronts to look good. So that's where I am. I just wanted to update and do this post so that even if I'm next week ends up being super busy, then I'll have something I can post, because I would like to post before going to Atlanta for the big Birds of the Air premiere. Woo! And yeah, this has all been so exciting, and I'm so thankful to the Twilters who pre-ordered. That's so nice. I'm also thankful to everyone who had kind words of sympathy about my mother-in-law's passing. It has been a rough time. It's been a rough summer. It's just another reason why I want fall to come. I want to live like, I don't know. That's, you know, I've talked about Jan Karan, or Karen, I don't know how to say her name, and those books that I want to love. And I want to love them because I want life to be like that. Every time you think, today we're going to make ginger snap cookies, which I do, you know, and we're going to build a fire, not now, maybe in January, but all those nice things. And some days you do have nice homey days where just is, everything is pleasurable and pleasant. But I actually don't, you know, and I think we should be aiming for that, because I think home comforts are important. I think pleasure and comfort, both of those things are so important, because the world is hard and life is hard, even if you're privileged, even if you're upper middle class or middle class, it's, you know, people slip away from you. Kids don't do what you want them to do. Travis is sitting right here. He always does what I want him to do. So he's like the only sure thing in this crazy, crazy world. But, you know, again, I think that's one reason to make quilts, because quilts just signify comfort. And it's so nice to wrap up in a quilt and read a book and just have those moments that we need to restore our souls. So with that thought in mind, I will go back to my quilting and perhaps some napping. I don't know, but I will be back soon. Adding a PS here, it's a little bit later. I went back to the scrap exchange. I wanted backing fabric for Bauhaus Birds in the Air. And I found it's an odd choice, but again, we're considering this the first draft of the Bauhaus. And it is kind of, it's a green. It's an olive green. I took a scrap of the orange, the background fabric for Bauhaus Birds, is orange, and I had a scrap of the orange. It works perfectly nice. It may be a twill. You know, it's a little bit sturdier than your basic cotton, but I think, again, that will be fine. It'll be interesting to see if that affects the quilting at all. So I'm washing that right now. So that's exciting, but the other exciting news is with the paper Birds in the Air, I wanted to do a red binding. So I brought a scrap of the red of the paper airplanes, and sure enough, they had 2 yards. It's so close. It's, you know, reds are funny, and I don't know if you recall, a few years ago I was in the market for red, and I guess it was in the Irish chain quilt that I did a few years ago, and I had started with one red and I wanted more fabric, and so I thought I was ordering the same red, and it wasn't, and I went through about, I feel like I went through 5 reds till I finally found the right red. And so this, but I'm holding up, it's really close. If it's
off at all, it's like an eighth of a shade different. So it's certainly close enough to use for the binding. And it is 2.5 yards for $2.50. So yeah, I'll wash this next. I need to get some color catchers. I wash it by itself, but I definitely, that is one thing about the scrap exchange fabrics. I don't typically pre-wash my fabrics unless they're batiks. I learned that lesson the hard way, or reds. But even with the reds, I think I've done some stuff with red and not pre-washed, and it's still fine. It seems like so many of the dyes are color fast nowadays. But but the scrap exchange, I don't know. This doesn't even smell musty. I'm still going to pre-wash, but isn't that cool? So, yeah, I know. And on the one hand, not supporting a local store. On the other hand, am supporting my bank account. As I talked about in the last episode, I try to even it out, try to do what I can to support my local shop, and they get plenty of money. So, from me, I know they would like to get all of it, and yeah, but I have to say I'm still thrilled to get 2.5 yards of the red fabric, of which I will only need about a quarter of yard, for $2.50. Yay, just feeling thrifty here. Okay, talk to you later. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 2. It is Monday, September 19th. And I can't recall what the day was when we last spoke. I believe it was last Thursday. I could be wrong. What did I say? I do not know. I really don't. All I've been doing is quilting, it feels like. That's not entirely true. My book club met here on Friday, and it was our 14th anniversary, which feels like a long time. I asked during our meeting, and it was more of a celebration than a meeting, although I have to say many of our meetings are more of a celebration than meetings. We are the talk about the book for 5 minutes, maybe. Every once in a while, we'll hit on one where we'll talk about it for 10 minutes, and that feels like an achievement of sorts. But I asked how long we thought the club would last. Like, did anyone think that we'd still be meeting? Would we have a 20th or a 25th anniversary? And everyone felt confident about 20. Beyond that, who knows, because a lot of us, almost everyone in the group has children except for one woman, Suzanne, who puts up with a lot of children talk, although she must be happy that our children are getting older, because when we started out 14 years ago, a number of us were pregnant, for the first couple of years, people were pregnant, people were nursing, people were having babies, etc. Not necessarily in that order, but it was a baby fest for the first couple of years. So I'm sure Suzanne was like, yeah, okay, great. But a number of us, our kids will be out of the house, at least off to college, in 5 or 6 years. And, you know, people move, people refocus. So who knows? But we felt like we had at least had a good 6 years. I hope we have a good 60 years left, that I'm there at age 110, drinking wine and discussing a book for 5 minutes. But what was funny, so we started reminiscing, and it was neat because we had a new member. My friend Sonal was there. So she was our newest member, and there's about four or five of us from the early days. But someone pointed out that for the first few years, we did not drink wine. And there was a woman in our group who I managed to offend out of the group. Her name was Laura. She, it was an interesting story. It's so interesting. I almost feel like I must have told it. I'll tell it again. So she was very opinionated, feisty, and a lot of people don't like her, but I liked her. So that's the great irony of me offending her out of the group. And she was one of the original founding members. And she apparently put a no wine rule on it as a founding member because she wanted it to be about books, which actually in its way is kind of cool. And I think too, so many of us were pregnant or nursing or what have you, that you know, wine was not playing a huge role in our lives at that time. So it may not have seemed like a big deal.
But we, for some reason, she decided, she had read The Devil Wears Prada, and the movie came out, and she wanted to see us to see it as a group. And she'd read, she was the only one, I think, in the group who had actually read the book. We didn't read the book for book group. And she hated the movie as a feminist. It just made her so mad. And I kind of, and she was sitting next to me and saying some things about it. And, I was trying to tease her a little bit. Like, I don't even remember what I said. But I remember kind of trying to joke around with her about it. And she did not want to joke. And so anyway, the movie was over and she was upset. And she went into the bathroom and I was walking out with some of the other women and just said something along the lines of, she's the one that read the book. So I'm having a hard time with the fact that she's so upset about it. I mean, this was her idea, whatever. And she came up right as I was, talking smack about her. I don't think I said anything too terrible, but it was like, still joking around and being sarcastic. And she heard it. And I was off her Christmas card list and she quit the group after that. And yeah, never got a Christmas card. And I mentioned that at the meeting the other night. I was like, yeah, I'm off her Christmas card list. And everyone was like, But it's interesting because she and her husband, who were both high school math teachers, her husband somehow helped develop some software company that sold for millions of dollars. And in fact, he and Laura got like $25 million out of the deal. So they're incredibly wealthy and, fund our public radio and this and that. But yeah, but again, I always thought the funny thing was I like Laura. She was crazy making, but I found the humor and humanity in her. So I just thought that was funny that I was the one who pushed her out. Anyway, how did I get started on my book group? So of course, because I had book group at my house, one of the reasons I had book group at my house was to force me to clean my house, and which I did over a period of days. Not that I did that full time over a period of days, but just like one day I did the kitchen and the next day I did the downstairs bathroom, which was really needed it. And I just find that's the best way to do it, just instead of one big intense day where you're actually pretty exhausted by the time the event actually happens. So that was very fun. And it's quite, it's really neat. The only time I see most of these women is at book group. A number of them live in Chapel Hill, which is the next town over. It's very close, but there are a number of the women who, and I have recruited people over the years because we've lost members, just people have moved away or gotten busy. But a number of the women that I've recruited have kids at Durham Academy where my kids go. So I see them more often, but anyway, I really like these people, and we had a lot of fun and laughed a lot, and Sonal was very happy. She said, this is just, and she's fabulous, so everybody loved her because she's quite worthy of everyone's love. And then, so I was thinking about that in part because that's all I did other than work on quilts. And I should tell you, so here it is Monday. The quilt show is Saturday, and I just finished quilting the Bauhaus Birds in the Air, very simple quilt job. I'm about to sew the binding together and then attach that. The only real big thing in front of me is I quilted the Paper Birds in the Air, but here's one with this. I kind of had an idea of what I wanted to do, but sometimes, and I don't know if you machine quilt, if you have this experience where it's kind of when you're about halfway into it and you start really figuring out what's going to work and you kind of have sewn your way into that realization, right? Quilted your way into that realization. And that's what has happened with this quilt. Part of the problem is the quilting I'm doing, it's sort of like the, what would you call it? Half shell, clamshell quilting. But when I started it, I didn't quite know what I was doing. And that lack of knowledge led to some places where there's some puckering. The problem is the thread I got to quilt this is so perfectly matched. It's a really pretty like periwinkle blue. And this quilt, the background, if you will recall, is a, it's type print, would you call that, or just type, right? It's all the words are in French, so kind of, I can't read it. Again, we're hoping it doesn't say anything offensive. And there's kind of a cloudy blue background. And so this thread matches it perfectly. The problem with that, of course, is when you're trying to pick out stitches, it's kind of hard to see it. And on the back, it's just the stitches are very small. And so it's just hard. It's a little bit of a pain. So what I've decided is, instead of stressing out about it too much, there are only a couple places where I really need to pick out the quilting and do it over and hope that it's going to yield the results that I want. And like finish up everything else. Finish up the Bauhaus birds in the air. I still need to attach the binding. Finish attaching the binding to the modern birds in the air, although I'm very close to being done. That's something I may end up with both of these. It's possible I'll be done with both of them by tonight. And then there's some, I want to do some troubleshooting on the other quilts. I mean, just I need to, I did the machine binding with the Twilters birds in the air, and I still just need to go around the corners and sew up, you know, the what do you call it? The word I'm looking for, of course, is mitered. I looked that up, and it's funny. I went online to make sure that mitered is actually the word I was looking for, and it is. But what's funny is I'm watching this YouTube video of someone doing mitered corners very neatly, I might add. I mean, it's really kind of a great little system she's got going here. But the initial picture, the corner's so flat. I'm like, just some people, man, are so good. And then I realized she's not actually doing it on a quilt. She's just using one piece of fabric. And no wonder it looks amazingly flat. So, yeah, so I want to sew up the mitered corners. And I don't know if I'm going to get around to this or not. You know, there's the meeting of the geese with my concentric circle quilting. I would actually like to add more quilting. The concentric circles are about an inch apart, and I think it would look better half an inch apart. And so that would mean going in and, you know, sewing more circles in between the circles. I don't know if I'm going to have time to do that. I would also like to redo the binding, as I think I've mentioned. Don't know if I'll have time. I don't think I'll wash the quilt. And that way, when I get back from Atlanta, I can take off the binding and redo the quilting and on, but just have it in Atlanta as a sample. And what I have to keep reminding myself is, even though this is a quilt show, my quilts are there in some ways for fun, for illustrative purposes. They're not, I'm not hanging them up to say, here are some prize-winning quilts for you to examine. In fact, it's like, here is this project. I decided to play around with the idea of birds in the air. And I don't want to get up there and denigrate the quilts and say, oh, they're not that great. But I do think I'll talk a little bit about my, you know, with quilts that that I have designed or have had friends like Adele design, the idea that these are drafts, you know, and that it can take a while, or it might have to do a quilt a couple, three times before you have it the way you want it. Now, with the Bauhaus birds in the air, which Adele did the pattern is perfect. It's just my skills as a paper piecer need improving, and of course the way they will improve is with practice. Anyway, so there is all kinds of stuff that I'd like to get done, but primarily I just don't want to freak out between now and then, and keep in mind that my reason for going down the show is to premiere the book, and you know, and hopefully get people interested in reading it. It's been great to hear from you guys, from various people who have gotten it or excited about getting it. Kathy Matthews did a really nice review on her blog. Some people are in the process of reading it right now and have said that they're enjoying it, and somebody finished it on Twilters and said they loved it. And that really means a lot to me, because, you know, there'll be people who don't like it. If you're not a quilter, I don't know if there's enough to really sustain interest as quilt-centered people. I really wrote it for other quilters. And, you know, and I'm not a huge plot person. This book has a plot, it moves along, but I'm much more character centered and character driven, which means that my characters tend to ruminate and think about their lives. And some people don't like that. You know, some people are like, let's get on with it. Let's move on. What happens in the story? And I know this is true. And I know I just have to do my work and write the stories I want to write. And oftentimes those are stories, the kind of stories that I actually also really like to read. And that some people don't like those stories. It's just now we have Amazon and Goodreads, so those people can be very vocal about how much they don't like those kind of stories. But it's very hard, you know, to have someone, you know, you've worked really, really hard on a project for many years, and for someone to go, you know. So I'm hoping that won't happen too much. But I've been through it before, because that's just how it goes. But in any event, so it makes it extra special when people say, oh, I love this book. So yay. So those of you who have said that to me, thank you. And if you read it, and again, not going to try to make this podcast, not going to make it a birds in the air commercial, but please, if you read it and like the book, if you will review it on Amazon and or Goodreads, that would be fabulous. Okay, so I am going to stop talking right now and get back to work. And I think that is what I'm going to do, and work on some bindings, have some a pork shoulder in the slow cooker. I love, you know, the only thing, I love the slow cooker. I mean, sometimes like you're in the morning, you're getting everything ready, and it feels like, this is kind of a pain. And now I'm trying to remember, was I supposed to brown that pork? I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's going to have been in a slow cooker for like 9 hours. It'll be really well cooked by then, but it's so nice this time of day, which is, what time of day is it? It is 4:27 to go. Oh yeah. Dinners are already made, or is in the process. I've already done all the prep work. It's cooking. Dinner is cooking now. And all I will have to do is serve it up. That's kind of lovely. All right. So back to work for me. I should probably finish this up here, because things will be very busy this week, and I do hope to get this posted before I go to Atlanta. So it's possible I'll come back with a PS, but if not, I hope all is going well for you. I hope the weather is absolutely beautiful where you live. Of course, here in podcast land, we don't even have weather. Don't have to worry about it. And I hope you're enjoying September and looking forward to October, really my favorite month. And I hope you're getting your quilty stuff done and making room for that in your life, making room for good quilts and good books and good friends. How's that? Let's go drink a cup of tea. All right, talk to you later. Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.